Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you.
Well, you know, historically, let me wind you back a little bit here if I can and take a little bit of time with you. You know, when in our Mick Pond mentioned this, when at the end of the fall of the Berlin Wall in the early 90s, and we were in what we called a peace dividend with the then Soviet Union, which became Russia, we made a decision to go reduce the number of shipyards from 8 to down to the 4 we have. These are public yards, okay, that we do the predominant of our nuclear ship maintenance in, submarines and aircraft carriers. So we have those.
This is the CNO, Chief of Naval Operations, a senior officer in the United States Navy, one of the Joint Chiefs. Admiral Cottle was here yesterday at NAS Pensacola talking. He gave a speech to the sailors and the Marines, and then he also talked with the press afterwards talking about, you know, the shipbuilding. And in order to understand where we are, you have to understand where we were. And, for example, cutting public shipyards from 8 to 4 after the fall of the Soviet Union and the peace dividend, which, you know, was great, except for not everybody decided to stay in that exact situation for 40 years, right? China, 35 years. China decided that they weren't just going to, you know, leave well enough alone, because over time, of course, what happens is there's always somebody thinks that they can, you know, make do. They can make out. They can advance. They'd rather do it by conquest or expansion rather than through, you know, the ordinary means of mere competition. So, well, we're behind because we allowed ourselves. We chose to be behind, not because of behind of them, but because we chose to not continue being dominant.
We also, when I came in the Navy, we had 14 repair tenders. These are large repair ships that have an 800-plus repair department on them. So the shipyards were manned with sailors, okay, and we cut that in half. And these repair departments were all sailors, and we went down to 2 of those.
Oh, it just hurts my heart to hear about, you know, because we're always reporting. I'm always reporting to you about the, you know, woeful state of shipbuilding, ship repair, the ships we do build, all of the stuff affecting the Navy. And, of course, because we're a Navy town, we think a lot about this stuff. You know, even though ships are more, you know, we're an aviation town more than anything, but still Navy. Every element of the Navy matters so much to us here and should really everywhere in the United States. But, yeah, cutting the repair tenders from 14 to 2, oh, it's just, oh.
So all this opportunity for sailors to have shore duty where they continue honing their skills in the repair of their ships and aircraft and platforms basically went away when we consolidated depot and intermediate maintenance and gave that all to our civilian maintenance maintainers in our public shipyards.
So we not only reduced capacity, but we outsourced capacity and training and education and experience from being inside the Navy to the private sector, which, you know, in some ways that works okay, but it still means you've lost a capacity, right?
So we're going back to the future a bit here and standing up 2 shore-based intermediate maintenance activities, which will be sailors repairing, you know, doing repairs. So great, I'm going to get more repair capacity from that. But that's not the primary purpose of this. The primary purpose of those 2 SEMAs are to make a world-class training platform for our sailors. It will give them an opportunity to go high-end repair in those 2 facilities and get the skills necessary so when they roll back afloat, they can maintain their own ships at a higher level than we've ever been done before. And so this is so overdue, I can't believe previous CNOs haven't done it.
It makes sense to me. The idea is that if you get them training on ship repair on shore, that doesn't just increase the capacity for ship repair, which right now we are in a major backlog for ship repairs. But at that, you know, if we're using sailors to do this, we will enhance the capacity of the country, therefore, you know, of the Navy. But also, if they are learning this skill, then they take that skill out on the boats with them and they'll be better at maintenance and, you know, promoting the life of the ship while they're on it. And they'll be able to handle problems. I mean, it's a training opportunity and also a capacity building opportunity. And so, I mean, this makes perfect sense to me. I understand this, at least to the degree I understand the civilian. What he said makes perfect sense. I love the fact that he's doing it. 437-1620, also the question of how big should the Navy be came up yesterday.
We have requirements, legal requirements, to have a Navy that's supposed to be 355 ships. We have studies that say that number should be 387 ships. I mean, the Navy is in high demand. You will not find one conflict going on in one area of the world where you need deterrence that you will not find Navy capability there. And so there is no shortage for what product lines we offer. So I want to see growth in the Navy. We need more ships. There is no question on that. We need high-end sixth-generation aircraft, okay, to put on our air wings. There's no shortage of the need for that as well.
Yeah, the product, as they say, is in high demand, and that demand is not shrinking, and especially with concerns we have about China, about the polar cap, about Greenland has now become kind of a discussion point, of course. It's not like we need the Navy less, okay? Oh, sure, just go send in the SEALs. Well, the SEALs are part of the Navy. And they get there with the Navy, and they, you know, all of these things, you can't keep using it and not replenish it, grow it, advance it, make it more effective towards the future, which is, you know, again, I appreciate him talking about that. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on 98 eastbound. Traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge, and that's about a 45-minute delay in that area alone. Other than that, we are rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Chief of Naval Operations, or the CNO. Daryl Caudill was here yesterday, four-star admiral at NAS Pensacola, talking to the press after an event where he talked to the sailors and Marines.
And so I am so much behind the new initiative here that the president, the secretary of the Navy, has kicked off. It is my job to go figure out how to weave in the new battleship, how to weave in the frigate, and how to continue the production of destroyers and our amphib ships, and making that whole force structure, that total Navy structure, fit into a theory of victory at sea that the concepts of operations support. Okay, combatant commanders know how to utilize those capabilities. High standards are done so that these new sailors that are coming in know where they fit on board those new platforms, and that we just make the Navy the continued world-class organization that it is.
There is a part of me that is glad I wasn't at this event yesterday. I couldn't go because it was conflicting with the showtime, and I, you know, couldn't have been there to cover it. Because if he mentions the battleship, I don't know that Andrew McKay could have restrained himself well enough to not have a follow-up question about the battleship. So, sir, even if he believes it to be a ridiculous concept, he can't say that, obviously. And so, you know, there's always this thing, like, I try to be kind of deferential to people when I don't want to ask people questions that put them in an impossible situation. I'm not trying to embarrass people, and I'm not trying to, you know, I want to give people the chance to say the things they want to say. But, you know, sometimes you can know what the answer is and know that the answer is going to do nothing but cause problems for them. And, like, why would you, you know, don't force a person to either hurt themselves or lie. You know, it's just mean journalism. And I don't believe in doing mean journalism. I believe, you know, because, you know, just, I don't know, just do unto others, and I wouldn't want it done unto me. Anyway, I'm kind of glad I wasn't there, in the sense that I probably would not have been able to stop myself asking a battleship, really? The unicorn that breathes fire and poops nuclear weapons? That battleship? That's never going to happen? But he has to say that. And maybe he believes it, but I wouldn't want to ask the question, because the answer would have to be, of course I believe it, right? You know, and don't force people to say things that, either way, you can't win. Last thing he says, as far as the Navy and the future of the Navy. John, did I overthink that one too much? Or is that, you can see me asking that, though, too, right?
Oh, I can. 110% can. There's not a doubt in my mind.
But, sir, the Trump-class battleships? Seriously? You know,
See, this is when I need to go with you. That way I can just slap you across
the face. Grab me by the arm. Yeah. No, don't do it.
No, Andrew.
Thanks for the opportunity, for being here. I understand the press here is so good to the Navy.
See?
And so thank you for that. I mean, not every story is great, and we've got some things that we're working on. I want you to know we're honest with you, and we try to expose those things and get after it. And but it is important to get our story out on the things we are doing to actually work on some of the challenges we face as a Navy. And I know of no great nation that does not have a great Navy. Those things go hand in hand. And for the United States to remain a superpower, it requires a super Navy. And we're going to make sure that stays the case.
Amen to that. By the way, I'm thinking about this. You know, probably how I would have asked the question, but it's something like, you know, I'm just having trouble processing the idea of naming a class of warships after a president and being able to build a brand new class of warships that we haven't designed before after our several failures we've had recently with high-profile ones, and that it's going to have a whole bunch of innovative technology like, you know, railguns and lasers and things that don't even exist, and hypersonic weapons, and, you know, I'm having trouble, you know, conceptualizing that as a real thing. Can you help me with my difficulty? That's the nice way to ask, and God help me if I manage to become diplomatic every once in a while. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have heating, air conditioning, plumbing, or electrical needs, Peden will take care of you. They've been around since 1969, all along the Gulf Coast. And, I mean, when I say that, it's, you know, all the way east to Tallahassee, so into the eastern time zone, where we try not to go, and all the way across the border into Alabama, where we also try not to go, but everywhere in between. I mean, they started in Panama City, but they've been expanding ever since. Started with air conditioning, of course, heating, plumbing, electrical, added later, working on generators, any of that stuff. And now they have this whole smart home system that they've got smarter, safer home consultations, the $89 smart home consultation. Their licensed professionals will design a custom plan that connects your comfort, your security, your energy savings into a single, simple system. You can start living smarter with Peden, and find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religion, self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
R2-D2, where are you?
Simple as something that nobody knows. Her eyes are as big as a bubble of toes. On the feet of a queen of the hearts of the car. Feet are infested with tar balls. And la-da-da-da-da-da. La-da-da-da.
Good morning, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David,
opportunity for us to.
Yeah, we'll get to him in just a second. He is monitoring audio, probably cutting it up to make good news reports with, which is obviously what he does and is extraordinarily good at it. Let's see what else we have going on in the meantime before we get back to him. Oh, he's ready now. Okay, all right, outstanding. David, always busy over there. Never a dull moment. Cutting audio, I assume.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. What's going on in the newsroom, sir, other than cutting audio?
Well, the U.S. is backing security guarantees for Ukraine, pledge made at an international summit in Paris yesterday. That would likely involve drones and things of that nature to help Ukraine in their war with Russia. The Trump administration adding 25 new nations to a list requiring travelers to post bonds before entering the U.S., the State Department saying yesterday there's now 38 countries subject to that requirement, most of them in Africa. Venezuela is one of the new countries added to the updated list. And
Bond. Visitation Bond.
DMX is now an ordained minister at the historic Underground Railroad Church. The late rapper receiving a posthumous honor over the weekend at the Foster Memorial AME Zion Church in Tarrytown, New York, which once served as a stop on the Underground Railroad.
I guess you can't get him to do your wedding, though.
Well, that might be difficult at this point.
You couldn't afford the fee.
Oh, fine. Fine. Sure. Call me poor. That's fine. 725 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident on 98 eastbound. Again, traffic is still backed up way past the Navarre Beach Bridge, which is about a 45-minute delay. So if you can, try an alternate route, because that's going to be there for a while. Other than that, I-10, I-110, everything else looks good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate that. The mayor yesterday was talking about the red light camera report that's going to be at the city council meeting next week. And he made an observation that I also have observed, and I thought it was kind of an interesting one, about having red light cameras at certain locations.
So every intersection is different, but also the analysis I'm going to be asking for from our team is, what is the impact of crashes around the entire city? Because one of my favorite pieces of feedback that I get when someone asks me about the red light cameras, they're like, well, I don't remember which light it's at. So I always, you know, now I got to stop at every red light. It's like, oh man, God forbid. You know, it's like, is it 12th and Bayou or 9th and Bayou? I'm like, I'm not sure. Why don't you stop at both? I think that matters too. Is that just the presence?
I'm not sure. Why don't you just stop at both? This is a really wonderful observation, and I have noticed it for myself. When I'm I know where the red light cameras are, but even when I'm coming up to a red light at a non-red light camera, like there's no red lights on Davis Highway, like Airport, Brandt, you know, anywhere like that. But don't you notice that there's a part of you, you go through this process in your mind, you know, is it yellow, is it red, what do I have to do? And there's a part of you that's like, okay, cameras, slow down. And they're like, oh, there's no cameras here. Right? Tell me I'm weird. John, do you have that happen with you? You don't have that happen?
No.
At all? Okay. I think a lot of people have this exact same processing, and John's just weird. But not the first time. Well, yours wouldn't be the first time if I'm weird, too. I think a lot of people don't know exactly where the red light cameras aren't, and so they kind of a little bit treat it like they could be anywhere. Sort of like there kind of could be an undercover, unmarked vehicle anywhere. Undercover and unmarked are different things. Anyway, and so they tend to be better at red lights in general because of it. This is actually, I'm going to play philosopher for just a second. You ready? I'm going to teach you some phenomenology.
Is that a word?
It is a word.
Phenomenology?
Phenomenology is your experience of the world around you, phenomena.
Oh, okay.
And it, if you want to call it psychology, you can, but you know, it's really a phenomenology issue. One of the kind of observations of phenomenologists is that, you know, I'm just adding big words to make a simple thing complicated, but your body and your brain operate a little bit like a computer, which is that there are tasks running in the background that you don't pay attention to. And that's the vast majority of the things that you do. They're automatic habits. Your driving is usually an automatic habit, okay? You get to work and home and you don't really think much about it. That's why you say to yourself, did I really? You know, because you forget, because you're doing it so automatically. So that's backgrounding. It's a backgrounding activity. Foregrounding is when you open up the application and you're actually looking at it, interacting with it. And if you have enough applications opened up and foregrounded like that, it tends to slow the whole machine down. So you don't want to foreground too many things all at one time. Well, when it comes to driving, okay, having red light cameras has the effect of foregrounding or making you more aware of the idea of paying attention to lights and not getting ticketed, because not just is not a cop round, but there's could be these red light cameras. So the entire process of driving near traffic lights get foregrounded for you at least a little bit. And that causes you to do the behavior a little bit more slowly, a little bit more deliberately, as opposed to just purely on the basis of habit. This is the same thing you experience when you're listening like to the frivolous topic, okay? And we talk about you know, how you organize your salt and pepper area, your spice area, or you know, which way you put the eggs back in the container. Something that you had done 100 gajillion times in your life and never thought once about it, all of a sudden you're thinking about it, and therefore all of a sudden everything about it seems weird, and you pay more attention, you do it more deliberately, and you curse me out because I made you think about it, and, you know, and it's kind of like how a, you know, a word that you know how to spell easily, you look at it too long, it starts to look weird. Well, those are all examples of the foregrounding and the way that changes your awareness, your cognitive, you know, the amount of cognitive resources you put towards solving a problem, whether you do it by habit or not by habit. And that's what the mayor is getting. And he's right. When you have red light cameras at some locations, even if you're well-informed about where they are or are not, and let's be honest, most people are not all that well-informed. Oh, my God, the person on social media on one of these, you know, Pensacola pages said, "What's going on with the street downtown? How dare they close it and not warn us?" Oh, my. You can't beat the stupidity. You literally cannot beat the stupidity. It's impossible. Anyway, so the mayor saying, you know, look, we got all these red light cameras in these locations, but is that having a net effect on discouraging red light camera running and or accidents at other places too? That's a good question to ask because of the phenomenological applications of the practice.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. U.S. forces are moving to seize an oil tanker that fled a blockade near Venezuela, that from U.S. officials. It's been 1 year since the horrific wildfires that raged out of control across Los Angeles.
Fire breaks out in the Pacific Palisades. Hours later, another ignites in Altadena under a transmission tower. 31 killed, 12,000 homes destroyed.
Fox's William LaJeunesse in Pacific Palisades. Residents are planning to protest today as many are struggling to find answers from officials and deal with the red tape and the rebuilding process.
Too many families like mine are feeling like when it mattered the most, we were exposed. And then we were just left to navigate this aftermath all on our own.
Pacific Palisades resident Rachel Darvish on Fox and Friends First. And Warner Brothers rejects the takeover from Paramount, telling shareholders to stick with the Netflix bid valued at $72 billion. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies, 65 degrees here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, a plan to bring affordable housing to Santa Rosa County neighborhood is on hold. The county commission is not voting on a proposal to pave Kern Street on Thursday. Under the plan, they would have been reimbursed by a developer that wants to build affordable homes there.
New homes there. The homes that are there now are going to be 250 to 290. So they're affordable houses in an area that very crime-ridden.
And that's Thomas Cornelis, and he addressed the Santa Rosa Board of Commissioners yesterday. He says that development would reduce the area for criminal activity and improve the neighborhood, which is currently a high crime area. Commissioners, though, wanted staff to look into environmental and stormwater issues before moving ahead. Ultimately, they took no action at Tuesday's meeting, so it will not be discussed at Thursday's meeting. Now, the Navy tackling a quality of life issue that affects sailors at bases across the country. That issue, getting them out of shipboard bunks into real housing. The Navy's top officer, Admiral Darrell Cottle, says his initiative is working.
Since I've taken this on, I've moved about 4,000 sailors off ships, and I got about 6,000 more to go. And so I'm on plan for that.
The Admiral says it's especially important when sailors are returning after they've spent 7 to 9 months deployed at sea.
I personally believe in today's world, you should work and live in two different places. I think to have the privacy, to actually have a relationship with, you know, with your friends and with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, to actually have a place to go relax off the ship is a requirement. It's not just a necessity, it is a requirement.
Congress has authorized Navy housing allowances for junior enlisted sailors, which makes that transition possible. Cottle's comments came yesterday when he was at NAS Pensacola speaking to sailors and Marines. Well, local families can keep their kids' futures right here in Pensacola. The American Magic is now officially opening their new facility at the Port of Pensacola. City economic development officials say it creates career pathways for engineers and technology professionals right here.
It means that parents like me, whose son just accepted his admission to UWF last night, can feel confident that our kids are getting the best education with the best possible career opportunities with organizations like American Magic, IHMC, and the soon-to-be-announced Project MAVE right here at home in Pensacola.
Economic Development Director Erica Grancagnolo says partnerships with UWF and Pensacola State are already producing interns that work directly for the American Magic team. Now, Governor DeSantis says he wants to add to former Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's legal issues. He said yesterday he's now pursuing state charges against the former president of Venezuela. He said Maduro was involved in bringing drugs into Florida and also emptied his prisons and sent inmates into the U.S. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens and get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No new accidents to report to you, but we're still dealing with 98 eastbound. Traffic is backed up way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. Expect about a 45 to 50 minute delay in that area. Yeah, I know. Let's see here. Highway 29 southbound from 10 Mile Road all the way down to Highway 29 or 9 Mile Road. I expect about a 10 minute delay. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. Expect a 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at another lovely day with temperatures warming up near 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Thursday, small 20% chance of rain, high near 75. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. 30% chance of rain on that Friday with a high near 74. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And cloudy with 65 degrees across the area right now. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Sweden-based Volvo Cars said it sold just over 75,000 vehicles in December, which is up 2% from a year earlier. Volvo Cars, which is majority owned by China's Geely Holding, said in a statement that the sale of fully electric cars rose 28% year-on-year. Sales of electrified cars, including hybrids, were up 6%. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said he does not believe China's government will make a formal declaration that it has allowed Chinese firms to import the U.S. company's H200 chips, but that evidence will come through purchase orders. President Trump last year reversed a longstanding ban on shipping advanced artificial intelligence chips to China. Oil prices are mixed based on the supply outlook and the Venezuelan output uncertainty. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $57.07 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $60.83 per barrel. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 484. The NASDAQ up 151. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is on the line with me. We talk to him every Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, a couple of things that are sort of follow-up things. One is, I think you and I, when we talked, was it last week? The weeks kind of blend together a little bit. Maybe it was the week before. But we had talked, it was the last week. We talked about the Portland Lose, and I had thought maybe they were going to be actually operational at the skate park and on Palafox at the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. I went and looked, and they were still contained off from the public with, you know, they were installed but not available. And it looks like that's actually going to be Tuesday is when both of those are going to open up. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. So they're already down. It looks like they're ready, but obviously doing the final trimmings and everything like that. And so both will be operational. So if you go to Palafox Market on North Palafox, you'll be able to use it, but not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And but it'll open on Tuesday, and then same skate park will open on Tuesday as well.
And some of the things, because you and I were kind of talking about this off the air, some of the things about this that I had not remembered or realized that the technology is really quite innovative, right? I mean, everything from the light that they use to the fact that you can see through them at the floor level. I mean, these are not just casual design elements that happened. They are intentional from a city that developed them, that they really work well for a high population homelessness / misbehavior, right?
That's right. I mean, what we did was you really had two choices. You could either do a brick and mortar situation. And I think, specifically from a safety perspective, I think it proves pretty difficult. And if someone were to lock the door behind them, something like that, it's a pretty hard thing to keep safe. And so, fortunately or unfortunately, all of the technology from being able to see feet, you know, underneath it and above it, but obviously having privacy, the lighting, all of those different things make it easy for our police to see if there was anything that shouldn't be happening there. And again, it just got developed over time as Portland or other cities started to see those issues. So that's why we wanted to go with these. Is they're easy to clean, easy to maintain, and easy to keep safe. And that isn't the case necessarily with your typical brick and mortar building that you might see at an old community center outside, for example.
Yeah, I mean, everything from you can obviously tell if there's two people in there shouldn't be. You can obviously tell if somebody has been in there an awful long time. You can see that somebody's in there. As you say, it's very easy to clean out, spray out. It's very simple to maintain. And even the light overhead makes it hard, for example, for a junkie to see their veins because of the way the light is designed. And those are all, and there's other elements too, but like those are all things that I had not thought of. And you kind of explained to me, I thought, oh, well, that's actually kind of genius, really. Unfortunate that it has to be, but, you know, genius nevertheless. We didn't have a chance to talk about this before, I think, but obviously the Drag Queen Christmas came and went at the Sanger. Other events came and went. You and I, when this had become kind of a discussion, and I know that the people who were protesting and demanding had basically asked, is there not a way we can have a clearer delineation of, you know, acceptable content at the Sanger? And that was something they were asking city council to take up as an initiative. It's obviously not on the next week's agenda, but is that something that you intend that the council will take up as a, hey, how can we avoid this in the future kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, not necessarily from my desk.
Okay.
And the reason is all things in general, not speaking to a specific event, the hiring of an operator to be making decisions and those decisions not be swayed by people in office, I think is a generally good concept. These are folks that know how to organize, that know who to call to get shows in general, in a general sense, not picking one that you like or don't like.
Sure.
And the second that the government starts getting involved in whether it's saying I believe drag queen Christmas should happen, or that the next night that there should be the church service like there was at the Sanger. Do you want your elected officials, I don't mean today or whether you agree with me or not, but over time to be picking winners and losers as it pertains to what content, artistic content is taking place? I don't know that's a win-win. In one moment, it might seem like a good idea. In the next moment, it probably those same people might think it was a terrible idea. So I think that having that arm's length, more than arm's length, between government officials selecting what we believe or perceive to be art or not art or is probably not the best strategy. Now, there already are things that protect the, you know, there can't be, you know, you can't turn it into a strip club. You can't have nudity. You can't have all. And of course, that didn't happen on the 23rd, and it hasn't happened. So I want to be clear. It isn't that you can do anything you want. But when you start delving into this is content I approve of and don't approve of, I just think it could be a pretty slope if we're looking long term.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Just a few things that are going on right now. We've got a vehicle fire, I-10 westbound, right around mile marker number 1. And also a vehicle crash with roadblock on Olive Road and Scenic Highway. And still dealing with the earlier accident on 98 eastbound. Again, traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge, which I'm saying traffic is about an hour delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Obviously, Palafox closed down on Monday. We are in the midst of massive, you know, reconstructive surgery, putting in the storm drains, you know, grading the streets so that it actually runs toward those what will be, you know, a stormwater system, all of the resurfacing and, of course, the renovation, all of that. But I have two questions that have been proposed to me. Kind of they're a little bit wingnut-y kind of questions, but I think you'll like them, and I'm curious what you might say. The first one is somebody asked me the light at Garden and Palafox and the light at Main and Palafox for the next 5 months. There's no traffic going from Palafox through those intersections. Would it not be possible to change the light pattern or make it, you know, flashing red south-north and yellows east-west? Is there a way to make that intersection, or maybe even, you know, subsequent intersections that are close by there? I know it's a state road, at least Garden is, but for the duration, is there a way to make that intersection work more efficiently?
Yeah, that's a good observation. Across the board, and first of all, you never have to qualify wingnut questions. I get those from you know, regularly. So,
okay, I just have an Andrew question then.
That's a good one. I'll have to ask our public works team. And you're absolutely right. There's a clear delineation between a state. It might take me 5 months, you know,
just to work through the deal.
Federal road or state road, not because they aren't helpful, but just, you know, it's a little more laborious to get something going on a state light. If we are controlling the Main and Palafox light, that might be a little bit easier. And this is, of course, where I would make the joke that if you actually are the person that has been for years driving around trying to find a parking spot on Palafox, you would know this, that if you go northbound, my joke is, you know, don't worry, that light's only like 6 seconds at Garden Street anyway. So, you know, it's going to clear out pretty quick. So you may not even notice that we haven't turned it off, given the fact that you only about
same.
Three cars, it feels like, get through there.
Yeah,
you know?
That's so, right.
But anyway, no, that's a great observation. I don't have an answer to that. It could be already done, or no one has asked about it. I'm not sure how, but we definitely will.
Okay, the other one, and this is definitely a wingnut question, okay? You know, my theory about the Palafox closure is this gives us a chance to see what it's the closest experiment we're ever going to get to seeing what a pedestrian district would look like on Palafox, because some people have said that's what they would want to have happen. But it made me think, well, sometimes for events, we make Palafox an open container district. Like for, you know, gallery night, for example, you can walk around with your open container of alcohol. Would it be useful to consider making that same rule nights right now on Palafox, certain times maybe as a regular pattern, because we have now a no car zone and you don't have to worry about the interaction between people drinking in cars? Would there be a value, would the businesses like having an open container district on Palafox since we have it closed to vehicles?
Again, something we can look at. I think from a geography standpoint, you know, I think we've seen the map. We know where the fencing is going to go. We know all of that. But we kind of want to see it live, you know, to see what kind of, before we do too much programming as it pertains to, you know, what do you do at the end caps of streets?
Sure.
We just kind of want to see how people are flowing, from that perspective. You know, the open container district, you know, listen, we've got a lot of things to enforce in the city, lots of ordinances, lots of rules, lots of crimes. I don't think that that we have a reputation or that we are notorious for writing a lot of open container tickets. But I think it's an important rule to have down there because of the volume of people. So that one might be a little touch and go. It just depends on who's filing for it or what the request is and all of that. So we're open to anything. And I think that's what I'm most excited about is we've really proven that. I mean, we've gotten going. We said we were going to get going. And we want this done by May 24th. And we continue to roll out from a marketing standpoint, communication standpoint, signage standpoint. That'll go on the fences now to give you it's basically a directory going up and down Palo Fox to tell you where to go. All of those things have been very intentional, and we've been working, and agents have been working really hard on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll continue to be open-minded about anything that could be helpful down there for sure.
I guess for me, the only reason I was thinking of it is in the vein of trying to find ways to generate more traffic downtown to make up for what they might lose from. And, you know, hey, if we're having, you know, regular parties on the Palo Fox and, you know, Palo Fox temporarily becomes Bourbon Street for 5 months, pro or con, you know, that's what I was thinking is maybe that's a way to sort of generate interest and participation and revenue, obviously, for these businesses that we assume are going to suffer somewhat through this this closure. Last thing, big topic, obviously, today is going to be the big event at the port where we're going to have, you know, not only the grand opening for the American Magic facility, but some other announcements that you hinted at, but I'm very eager to find out what those are. Just again, for people who may not grasp this, and even I admit that I don't always fully grasp the significance of this. Maybe in a couple of minutes, just explain, why is this such a big deal for us?
Sure. So the best thing to think about is think about American Magic as not just a sailboat and guys that get on a sailboat. Think about it as a brand in sailing, that it's one of the lead innovators in the world as it pertains to sailing. So one arm of their brand is the actual sailing part. And again, they'll have some very exciting announcements about how they will be on the world stage within competitive sailing. And then the other part is this innovation in manufacturing, literally building sailboats, built technology, the simulators that they use to not only build boats themselves, but work with other major companies to build boats. So there's this entire industry of innovation and manufacturing, especially the composite, on the other side of this, and both of those things will be taking place inside the new building, Warehouse 10 at the port. And if you heard Tyson during the press conference yesterday, you know, he mentioned that this is a very unique thing in the world to have all of those activities for one company happening under one roof, that is not something you see in the United States and something you rarely see all over the world. So really, it goes back to what I've always said since we've been really hustling for this when I started just a couple weeks in, was basically this plants our flag as really a preeminent sailing destination in this country and one of them in the world. And I think you'll learn that even more with the announcements that are made today and next week. You'll continue to hear some things from American Magic rolling out that continue to galvanize that reputation. And I think when you see the crowd of people and the folks that are flying in from all over the world in the sailing community that are going to be here in Pensacola today, we'll give you some good symbolism of that as well. So very excited for today. It's been a hard project and complex project for everybody on the city team, but this is a day of celebration, and we're glad to cut a ribbon and get this place open.
Outstanding. Looking forward to it today. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. So question number one for you is, how are your spices organized in your kitchen? Are they alphabetical by genre? The latest one gets put in the front. Do they have a drawer? Do they have a rack? Are they, you know, cluttered, organized? How would you describe it?
If our citizens of Pensacola had a mayor that had time to alphabetize the spice rack, then you should be asking more questions. No, it's whatever goes, it's a high above, kind of above and right of the stove pull-out drawer that you just stack them in there. They're in the order of populist, the populist vote. You know, whatever I need the most is up front.
Okay, so essentially no order other than popularity determines who's the most available to you. Okay, I get, which, I mean, that's kind of how I do it too, so I appreciate that. Do you send or like to receive voice notes, which is not a text, not a phone call, but somebody records a message and then sends it to you like a mini podcast?
I don't mind getting them. I've been a little leery sending them, not for really any reason. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm old school, but I don't mind them. I don't mind getting them. It actually helps me save a little time sometimes.
Okay. All right. And last question, how loud should a sneeze be? How loud are Mayor D.C. Reeves' sneezes? I feel like when I'm talking about Reeves' sneeze, I'm almost in Dr. Seuss land here, but go ahead.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, mine's pretty loud. You know how you say it? Mine sounds exactly like my dad's. Actually, I don't know if it's a genetic thing, but it's annoyingly loud. So I always do, instead of a bless you, I usually give out an apology.
And oh my God, I'm so sorry about that.
Whatever.
Well, is your mom a loud sneezer?
Average.
Okay. I would say it's not genetic, but it's just good parenting. A dad teaches a boy how to be, and you know, your dad taught you how to be a man in your sneezes.
Right. Get everybody's attention, you know, whenever I need to sneeze. Exactly. Yeah, it's good.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to talking again next week. Obviously, the city council agenda review and also the meeting are next week, and we'll learn more about that. Plus, the American Magic event today should be fantastic. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon, and I hope you don't sneeze.
Same here. Thanks.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's still, okay, so we've got an
teach
accident.
A boy to be a man, sneeze like a man.
Exactly. If you can catch a wrench, you can catch a ball.
There you go.
All right, East Olive Road and Scenic Highway, we've got an accident with roadblock. I'm seeing delays on Scenic Highway and Olive Road, and also still dealing with the accident that happened over in on 98 eastbound through the Windhaven Beaches. Traffic is backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge and is barely moving. I'd say you'd have an hour delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you need a roof, or you're not sure if you need a roof and you don't know whether to replace it or repair it, or, you know, what are the finances involved and all that? How much is it going to cost? How inconvenient will it be? Will you save money on your home insurance or not? Will you need to get a wind mitigation inspection report? Well, okay, those are all great questions. Call Quality Roofing Solutions and ask. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago. They've done 10,000 roofs in this area, so you know they're very, very active. About 90% of what they do is replacement, about 10% is repair. And the reason for that is because a lot of times by the time you mobilize to do a repair, it's not that much more maybe to do a whole replacement, and you're going to save money because if you wait 2 or 3 years, it's going to be more expensive. And as I said, you might save money in your insurance in the meantime, depending on the nature of your roof. They're very invested in the local community with all kinds of charitable activities, local youth sports, our gateway financial literacy education, and their company is run the way you want it to be run, like to make it easy for a consumer to interact with people who, you know, in the trade, sometimes you feel like, I don't know anything. They understand that, and they're going to try to explain it to you. Like I said, 4.9 rated on Google, lifetime warranty on their roofs, qualityroofingsolutions.com, 777-0961.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
playing that one because I see John's reaction. He's just having, like, trauma flashbacks.
I hated that. Hello. Hello.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. The Trump administration is adding 25 new nations to the list requiring travelers to post bonds before entering the U.S. The State Department saying Tuesday there's now 38 countries subject to that requirement, most of them in Africa. Venezuela is one of the new countries added to the list. And
I don't think it's fair for us to take, you know, 50 million barrels of oil and charge them a visiting fee. You got to do one or the other.
Well, that's fair.
Go on. You were going to say. Probably not enough time.
The Pentagon is reviewing whether women should be allowed in ground combat roles.
Yep. They're looking at it and they're going to see, you know. And, well, you know, Pete Hegseth has previously expressed skepticism. You're